on tonight. we go to Book of Revelation, man. I tell you what, we have really been in this for a long time in the Book of Revelation, and we're getting down to we're down to the end. We got chapter 21 and got chapter 22, and we'll be done with the Book of Revelation. And I don't know about you, but it's been the biggest blessing to go through this book, but it's also been a burden to go through this book. And you say, why was it a burden? Man, it has opened my eyes to things in my life that I see that's going to be coming for a lost person. And it burdens your heart to know that they're going to be left behind and have to go through them things if they don't get born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So tonight, we're going to talk about the new Jerusalem and going to talk about the new heaven, the new earth, and what's going to be taking place. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this tonight to be able to just probably won't preach, probably just going to go through this. You've got a paper, and I just want to show you what the Bible teaches us about this new Jerusalem that will come down out of heaven. Can you imagine that? A new, man, everything brand new. A while ago when we got to church, Kaylee got out, and Kyler called her over to his truck, and she went over to his truck, and they got in there, and it wasn't but a minute. Brandy went over to the door, and they was all giggling and laughing. He'd bought her a brand new pair of Air Jordan shoes. You know, got the Jordan on it, you know what I'm saying? And they was all tickled to death. Well, I remember when I was at the Goodwill not too many months ago in Destin, Florida. Can I get a witness? There's a pair of high-top Jordans for $40. And I said, them are Jordans, $40. They're half a size too little, but I can get them on my feet. And Kaylee said, Daddy, you're not getting them. You don't wear Jordans. That ain't going to look right. But because these are brand new, they look right. There's going to come a day that everything in your life is going to be brand new. I told Brother J.D. Markham over there a while ago, we was in that room, and I told him, I said, son, do you know when you die, you'll never sin again? There'll never be no more sin. You'll never have the opportunity to sin again. Once we die and we get resurrected again, there is no more sin. The sin for us is over. It's over because the blood of Jesus Christ has saved us from our sin. I'm thankful for that tonight. Revelation 21, we're going to look 9 through 27. I will not read all of them. I want you to get this tonight. I want you to get your mind wrapped around it and what God is trying to show us here. So I want to look tonight in Revelation chapter number 21, read a few verses, and then I'll go to the Lord in prayer. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Revelation chapter number 21 in verse number 9, and the Bible says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God in her light, was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the gates, 12 angels, thank God it ain't Peter, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Father, I love you, and I thank you for this night. I thank you that I don't have to wonder what heaven's going to be like. Lord, you've already pinned it down. I thank you that I don't have to wonder what it's going to be like when I get there. You've already got it wrote down. Father, you took John and you put him out on the island of Patmos there, on that isle out there all alone, all by himself, and you showed him exactly what heaven's going to look like. Lord God, you told him to write it down. You told him to pin it down in your book, and I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I thank you tonight that what you've already done is already sealed in heaven tonight. I thank you for that. What's been written, Father, is faithful and true because you are faithful and true. Father, I pray for the next few moments that you illuminate my mind and loosen my tongue. And Lord, I pray you guard my throat and my thoughts. And let me teach this correctly tonight. Let me not err in no way tonight, Father. Lord, I know tonight that this is very important on what heaven's going to be like. And Lord, I pray tonight that somebody's wanting to go. Lord, I pray that somebody's ready to go. Father, I pray that somebody's praying and saying, Lord, when my time's ready to go, you just call me on and I'll be ready to go. Father, I love you. I thank you. I glorify your name. I pray for the prayer request that's been lifted up. And Lord, I pray you have your will and way. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come, we're going to talk about the New Jerusalem that came out of heaven there. The Bible says here, if you look, that John wrote in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 9, it said, I, John, who also am your brother. He said, what I'm fixing to tell you about heaven, I want you to know I'm going to tell you that as a brother tonight. He said, I want to tell you what God showed me and what God told me and what God gave me. He said, I am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said, I was all alone and God showed him so many things. But can you imagine after all that he saw? He's seen the tribulation. He's seen the churches there at Asia Minor. He's seen all these things. And then you get to chapter number 21. He's seen the millennial reign. He's seen all this go on. And then he gets down to chapter number 21 and he says, boys, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing of what God has got prepared for his people and who loves him. He said, you've not seen nothing yet. Now the new, he said, can you imagine that? And that the new Jerusalem is going to come down from God out of heaven. So tonight, as we get in chapter number 21, I want to show you tonight what the Bible has showed me and what you can read on what it's going to look like, the New Jerusalem. Tonight, if you'll look with me first, I want to look at the glory of God that's going to be in the New Jerusalem tonight. Folks, tonight, I don't know about you, but I thank God for His glory. Amen. I thank God for His glory that shines on my life and shines through my life, that I'm not who I used to be. I'm not caught up in them things because of His glory and His light. If you'll look on your paper, I made a huge mistake when I was printing this out. I put down the brightness of the light, but it's not the light, it is His light. Amen. So I went back with my pen and I fixed that error there and I made it correct. As I proofread it one more time, I want this to be correct as I can make it according to the Word of God. And I want you to understand what He has prepared for you and what He has saved you from, what He has delivered you from, and what He's going to give you one day. Folks, can I say to you, you've not seen nothing yet. The best is yet to come. When there's nothing here compares to what He has put for us over yonder. Amen? And tonight, the glory of God, it is His light. And in verse number 11, it says, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. I want you to get the brightness of His light. This light that you're going to see here, it is a shining clear as a crystal. It is the Shekinah glory of God. It is a shining and it is a bright light like you've never seen before. You take the brightest light that you've ever seen and it doesn't compare to the light that our Lord and Savior has, that God Almighty has. He had to hide Moses in the cliff of the rock. Moses couldn't even look on him. And when he did, and he passed by, he had to wear a veil because the people couldn't look on it because it shined on his face. I want to ask you, when was the last time that you've been in the presence of God so real in your life that people couldn't even look on you because that shining, that Shekinah glory being all over you in your life? You say, preacher, that don't happen no more. Oh, yes, it does. I've seen men of God and women of God get in a closet and get to praying and come out and the Shekinah glory of God be all over them. You don't have to stay where you're at. You can come out of the darkness into the light. Amen. And he says tonight, the brightness of his light is shining clear as a crystal in verse number 11. But I want you to get this, not only the brightness of his light, but I want you to get how big this light is. I'm talking about a light now, son. I'm talking about a light that there's going to be no moon, there's going to be no sun, there's going to be no stars, there's going to be no need of them things to light the day or to light the night because God himself is there. Man, I'm telling you, if that don't excite you, if you say, preacher, I'm telling you, it's so dark in the world we live in. Hey, can I say to you, it's the brightest it's ever been in my life. Man, I'm telling you, when I read this book, I see as darker it gets, how much brighter we should be, how much more we should stick out. And it's because of the glory of God. I see the brightness of His light, but I also see the bigness of His light. Look with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 5. You say, just how big is this light? It is so big, there's going to be no need for any other light. There's going to be no other light source. The only light that you're going to need is God Himself. Can I say to you tonight, the only light that you need in your life is God Himself. Amen. Don't you look to another man. Don't you look to another woman. Don't you look to another person to run off their light and run off their light source. There's only one light, and that's God Almighty. That light tonight. Look what he said in Revelation 22 and verse number 5. Here's what he said. And there shall be no night there. Why? Because there's no darkness where God is. He's going to be there. There's going to be no night there. There can't be no night there because God's there. He said there'll be, this is how big he is, how big the light is. There'll be no night there, and they need no candle. You're not going to have to light a candle. I don't know if you're on Tom Bigby Power or not, but we keep candles all over the house because the power goes off continuously, and you walk in and they got candles lit, and you can tell what time of year it is. If it's Christmas time, it's going to smell Christmassy. Right now, it smells like pumpkins. I mean, it lights all the time. Last night, we was out from about 3 to 11. The power just decided to go off from 3 to 11. We sat in the dark. You say, preacher, what is that? Can I say to you, there's going to come a day, there's going to be no more darkness. Man, this right here gets me fired up. To know I'm not going to have to put up with that anymore in my life. He said there's going to be no night there. There's going to be no candles there. Neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. That's how big this light's going to be. It's how big God is. It's how bright he is, how big he is. But I want you to see the beauty of his light. He said, preacher, I got to wait to get there to see how bright God is. No, my friend, you can see him right now in the world we live in. Right now in the world we live in. Can I say to you, the election that's going to come up in November, it's not going to make a difference with God. Listen to me. If you're worried about Republican and Democrat, and you're worried about who's going to be president, and you're worried about all this, it's not going to make God no different. He's not wringing his hands. He's not upset. He's not fretting. He is the light. He is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me. So tonight, I want to show you the beauty of his light. Psalm 36:9 says, for with thee is the fountain of life. Psalm 36:9, he said, for with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. What does that mean? He said, when you look at God, you're going to see light. If the only thing you see right now in the world we live in is darkness, it's because you're not looking at God. Point blank. As a pastor, a lot of times I get my eye on the crowd out here and get it off the cross. When I get off the cross and I start looking at the crowd, it gets dark as a pastor. Hello? Teachers, deacons, when you get your eyes off the cross, people in the pews, you can't be looking at the people that's around you. You got to look at the cross. You got to look at the finished work and know that what he did on that cross, how big that work was, how beautiful that work was, and how it's going to sustain you all the days of your life. It's his light that's there with us. But let me give you this. We see the glory of God and his light's going to be there in verse number 11. But let's go down to not only the glory of God and his light, but I want you to look at the description of the new Jerusalem that's going to come down out of heaven. I want you to look at this, what's going to come down. And I want to start with the wall in verse number 17. And here's what John said. He said, and he, not John, but the angel, and he measured therefore 144 cubits according to the measure of man, that is of the angel. The angel measured the description of the new Jerusalem. He took his tape out. He took it out and he measured the wall. And that wall shows its security and protection. But I want you to get this tonight. I'm not talking about a 2x4 wall, Brother Jim. I'm not talking about a 2x6 wall. Amen. I'm not talking about a 2x8 wall. I'm not talking about a wood wall. I'm talking about a wall, son. I'm talking about a wall that nothing can come against tonight. And that wall is in your life right now. If you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you've got a hedge of protection around you. And you've got a wall around you tonight. He's walled you all around tonight. And tonight, get this, the wall shows its security and its protection. You say, how thick is this wall? Here it is. It's 144 cubits. Here's how thick this wall is. It's 216 feet wide. Can you imagine? This building, from where Flippo is, all the way over to my wife is, window to window, is 54 feet. I'm just giving you how thick this wall is. This sanctuary from there to there, 54 feet spans, all this is. If you build a wall, this would be a pretty good sized wall to build, wouldn't you believe, Brother Jim? And you put a city, this is the wall that's going to separate you, and you're going to put your city on that side. I'm not talking about in the middle. You got to wrap your mind around this. 216 feet. So this right here is 54 feet. Just do the math. You just keep going on out until you get to 216 feet. That's how wide this wall is. I'd say that's pretty good protection, wouldn't you? So that wall is 216 feet in its width and how thick this wall is. The gates, let me give you this, in verse number 15. We've seen in verse number 17 where we see the wall, the description of the wall. Look at the gates, which shows the accessibility in verse number 15. And he that talketh with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. The gates shows accessibility. The accessibility of these gates, they're going to be, the number of gates is going to be 12. 12. There's going to be 12 gates to this city. Can you imagine that tonight? There's going to be 12 gates. The name on the gates, each will have a name from the tribe of Israel. Each one of these gates is going to have a name from the tribe of Israel on that gate. And the gates will be approximately 300 miles apart, and they're going to be made of pearls. If you'll look with me, if you will, in verse number 21 of Revelation 21, I want to give you this. Here's what he says about the gates. He said this wall is going to be 216 feet in its width, but there are going to be gates there. And there are going to be 12 gates all around this city that's going to be walled, this new Jerusalem that comes down. And I want you to get this now. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And you ever heard somebody say, I can't wait to get to the pearly gates? That's where they get it at. Every gate is going to be made of one pearl. Get that around you. Man, when I have read this, it's blown my mind. 216 feet wide, 12 gates around this thing. The names of the tribes of Israel in it. And it's going to be a pearl in that gate. Folks, tonight, what he's made for you and what he's made for me, I see the names of the gates, but also see the dimension of the city. That's just telling you how thick and the gates. Now, I want you to look at the dimension of the city that John gave. Tonight, he said, God's going to be there with all his light. And he said, here's the city that he's made for you and he's made for me. Look with me, if you will, to verse number 16 tonight. I want to show you this city. He said, the city lieth four square. That means it's going to be perfectly square. It's not going to be a quarter of an inch out. It's not going to be an eighth of an inch. It's going to be perfect. Why? Because he is the master builder. He is the carpenter. Can I say to you tonight, when he puts your life back together and you get born again, it's completely square. It's not out of line. It's perfect. You say, preacher, I still mess up. Yeah, you're going to mess up, and I'm going to mess up. But the salvation and the work that he done in your life is perfect. It don't have a blemish. It don't have a flaw. It don't have nothing. Tonight, let me give you this. The dimension of the city in verse number 16. I want you to look at this. And the city lie four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. He said the length of this city is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed. 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it is equal. He said the length, the breadth, and the height is equal. I want to give you this length of this. 12,000 furlongs equals 1,500 miles. You tell me he ain't prepared you something. He ain't prepared me something. He said in the same book of Revelation 21, said there will be no more sea. Why won't there be no more sea? Most of the earth you live on now is water. Water's going to be gone. Why? So it can handle everybody that's been born again that can live there. There'll be no more sea. You've got plenty of land. You've got plenty of room. You've got plenty of what you need. Can I say to you right now tonight, you got plenty. You say, oh, preacher, you don't know my bank account. You don't know my situation. You got plenty. Your Father in heaven's got plenty. He's waiting on faith just to pick it up. He's got plenty. He's not broke. He's not wringing his hands. He's not upset. He has plenty tonight. The length of this city is 1,500 miles long. The length. The width of this city is 1,500 miles wide. I can get 1,500 in my length, and I can get 1,500 in my width, miles. It's hard to wrap my mind around it, but I can about do it. You can too. You can say from Mississippi to here, you can about get it. But here's what blows my mind right here. I'm going to give this to you in verse 16. I'm going to give this to you. He said the length and the breadth and the height. He said, this thing's going to be 1,500 miles tall. And the height. Can you imagine this city? Can you imagine what he has prepared for you and what he's prepared for me? No wonder the Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard what the Lord's prepared for those who love him. Lost man's not going to see this. Lost man's not going to have a clue about this. Saved man will. I want you to look not only at the dimensions of the city, but I want you to look at the foundation of the city in verse number 18. Verse number 18 says that it says the walls was of jasper and the city was of pure gold. You think that light's going to shine? That wall was of jasper and the city was of pure gold. Now, when I read this, right here, I don't know the names of these, okay? I'm not even going to pretend to, but I wrote them down, and I'm going to give you what they mean. This city is going to be 1,500 miles high, okay? 1,500 miles high. And this city is going to have 12 foundations or levels. 12 foundations or levels, which has the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Look in verse 19. Have I lost anybody yet tonight? Please don't let me. I've got so excited about studying this and reading it. I don't want to lose nobody. Verse 19. Y'all ready? And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation or the first level was jasper. Okay? You can stay in 19 and you can come on down to verse number 20 with me as you go. I'm not going to read the names of them. I'm just going to tell you the color because I don't want to mess it up. I may tell you one or two names. I know of one or two. Jasper, that first level or that first foundation is going to be jasper, which is crystal clear. It's going to be diamond-like. The second foundation there is going to be sapphire, which is going to be blue. The third, and you see the word there, is going to be sky blue. The fourth is going to be an emerald, and that's going to be bright green. The fifth is going to be white with layers of red. This is the foundations of this Jerusalem, this new city out of God, out of heaven. The Sardis, in the sixth one, is going to be fiery red. The seventh is going to be golden yellow. The eighth is going to be green, yellow, and blue. It's going to be all tinted there. The ninth, which is topaz, is going to be golden green. The tenth level or foundation is going to be bluish green stone. The 11th is going to be violet. And the 12th is going to be purple. That's going to be the foundations of this city. Can you imagine? He is the architect. He is the one that created everything. He is the one that hung the moon out there and it's hanging on nothing. He is one that sets the sun out there and the stars are hanging on nothing. They're just out there. And you say, preacher, just being saved is enough. And I agree with you. Being born again is enough. But you know what my God said and your God said? He said, no, that ain't enough. For those that put their faith and trust in my son Jesus, in the dear Lamb, the one that was slain and gave his life, and they put their trust in him, I'm going to reward them with something that they've never seen. I don't know about you, but when me and Brandy went to buy her ring when we got married, that's been 25 years. It's been 25 years. She's put up with me 25 years. They all been good for me now. We all talk to her later. They've been great for me. Son, I'm telling you what. Everybody said, boy, she looks good. I said, living with me, there's very little stress. A lot of laughing going on now. Hold up. But when we went to look at that ring, we went and bought that thing. And I had to put it on Zelle's credit card. Man, I don't think I was 19 or 20. I don't know how young. I had no money. Still ain't got none. They said, we'll let you borrow it. I said, give us the biggest one you got. If I can borrow it. Surely they ain't going to come repossess it off her finger. You know what I'm saying? But don't pay for it. But I got that ring. And that guy, he took it out, Brother Hagin. And he let us look at it. And when he got ready, he said, I'm going to take a picture of this ring because there ain't one like it in the world. I thought, yeah, he's telling me something here. He said, no diamond is the same. No stone is the same. They're all different. And he took that magnifying glass and he stuck it over that ring. And what we could see with our eye, man, it was perfect. It's on her hand right now. It's perfect. Put a band in there and that thing pop in the light because it was gold. It popped. Just like the city's going to be. It's going to pop. It's going to pop. And he took that thing, but I want to show you the spots in it. And it's special because it's got its own spots. He would have spot in that ring that he put that magnifying glass over there. And when he put that magnifying glass on there, you can see the spots in that diamond. But he said, listen to me. He said, the naked eye can't see it. He said, you got to get up on it. Folks, can I say to you, the naked eye won't be able to see what I told you tonight. You got to get up on it. You got to get in that book and you got to read it. And you got to say, man, look what I got to look forward to. Do you know how many people I've heard, they say this right here, they say, I don't want a mansion when I get there. Give me a shack over in the corner. Why would you tell an architect to build you something like that? Why would you tell the best carpenter ever has lived, ever has been, to just build me a shack? That's degrading him. That's telling him, you can't build a mansion. The best you can do is a shack. He said, I ain't giving you a shack, son. If I gave you my darling lamb, why would I give you a shack? He don't never give second best. He always gives best. He said, why would I give you this and not give you this? You look at them 12. And then he said this. He said, but right in the midst, there's a street. I'm not going to beat this dog to death. You believe what you want to right here? I believe God's big enough that there's not streets in heaven. If there had been streets, he'd have put an S on the end of it. Sister Deese, was that plural with an S? He didn't put it on there. He's big enough to put it on there. So how big is it, Brother BJ? I believe I-22 ain't nothing up here. I believe 65 up there in Birmingham ain't nothing compared to the fairway going down the middle of heaven. I believe it's going right down through there, son. I'm telling you. There's no division. Why do we need roads? Why do we need more streets? Why do we need all that? Hey, God ain't like that. He's not dividing. He don't need a divided four lane up there. We're all going to be in unity. We're all going to be in one. We're all going to be together. We're going to get along. There's nobody going to be no fighting and fussing. There's going to be no arguing or complaining or grumbling. None of that. We're all going to get along. Why do we need a bunch of streets? We need that one street. Look what he said here. We're going to close. I was going to get the river, but it needs to be by itself in chapter 22. It just needs to be by itself. Look what he said here. In verse 21, he said, the street of the city. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was with one pearl. And the street of the city. The street of the city. The street of the city. And by the way, the tree of life is going to be at that street. There's only one way to heaven. He said there's only one road. Perfect example of salvation. One street, one road. Perfect example. And the street of the city was pure gold as it were transparent glass. The street of the city was pure gold and transparent glass. That means you can see through it. John closes the chapter with who will enter the New Jerusalem. Listen to me tonight. Here's where he closes this chapter in chapter 21. Well, who will enter? He said, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth. He said, anything that will defile it will not enter in. There'll be no sin in this city. In this heaven, this city, this new Jerusalem, there'll be no sin. It's going to hover over. There's going to be a new heaven, going to be a new earth. This new Jerusalem is going to come down. It's going to hover over. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. But those that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Let me give you this in Revelation 2:7. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. If you go on and read chapter number 22, you'll see the river that comes down. You'll see the tree of life that we're going to get to eat. And every month, it'll give off its own fruit. And you're going to get to eat freely of that fruit. See, that tree of life, what that is, a lot of people think that Adam and Eve ate of the tree of life. They did not eat of the tree of life. They ate of the tree of good and evil, knowledge, to know what was good and evil. That's what, if they had ate of the tree of life, there had been no hope for them. There had been complete damnation from then on out. But they did not eat of the tree of life. They did not eat of it. He separated that thing out. He said, no. They done messed up. Get them away from it. He kicked them out of the garden. He said, what do you do with the tree of life? It's still there. It's right there in the midst. Right there in the midst of heaven. Right there in the midst of this city. And those is going one day is going to get to eat of that tree of life. He said every month is going to give off its fruit. Its leaves are going to be good. You're going to be able to eat it. And that tree of life is what's going to take care of us all the days of our life. I don't know how this works. We're going to close, I promise. I don't know how this works. But I know my grandma has some pear trees, apple trees, chestnut trees, all kind of trees. And they ain't nobody, they end up, I might feed this corner over here when it finally would produce. You know what I'm saying? But can you think about everybody's going to be in heaven and this tree is going to be able to provide what they need? But Jesus said he was the tree. He is the tree. He is the way. He is life. He is what we need. Tonight, I don't know about you, but man, the book of Revelation has done me good. To know that he's built me a city, built you a city. It's 216 foot wide, just the wall. 1,500 miles tall, wide, and long. That's a big old place. But we serve a big old God. Tonight, if that don't excite you, I don't know what will. To know what you got waiting on you up there, I don't know what would excite you anymore. We get on over in Revelation 22, you're going to see the river and you're going to see the tree. My prayer tonight is this, that everybody in this room from corner to corner saved, born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. You say, preacher, I'm not really excited about going. Hey, I don't want to go tonight. I mean, I'm ready to go, but I don't want to go tonight. There's a lot of things I'd like to do before I left, you know. But all I'm saying is if he did call me tonight, my kids and my wife ain't got to worry where I'm at. They'll know I'm in heaven. Know I'm with the Father. Know where I need to be. Where I want to be. That's where my heart's desire is tonight. Tonight, if you don't know Jesus, be a great night to make him your Savior. Amen. Got a lot to look forward to. Lost man ain't got nothing to look forward to. Miserable. No peace. Pray you have a good week. Remember, meet with Sister Kim up here tonight. If you're going to go to the ministry down in Millport, get with me before we leave tonight. Let us pray. Father, we do love you and we do thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for in the Bible, we don't have to worry about what heaven's going to be like. Father, you gave us a description. You gave us a clear description. And Lord, the only body's going to be able to enter in is those that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what your Bible says. And Father, I pray tonight that you bless everybody in this room real good. Father, I pray tonight for Brother Tony, Sister Kathy. Lord, I lift them up to you tonight. Lord, I pray tomorrow that she'd be able to go to a room. She get out of that CCU and get into a room. And Lord, I pray tonight you be with them, be with their kids, Bridget and their son, Cody. Lord, I pray you be with him as well. Lord, watch over him, help him as only you can. Lord, I pray tonight for Brother Randall Cantor, as Brother Les mentioned earlier. Lord, I pray you help him and his help and the things he's got going on there with rehab. Lord, be with this church. Let us always be found being faithful to the word. Father, what we do with the word is what you're going to do with us. We thank you for that. We ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say it. Amen. You are